welcome to Share the Best, the podcast of Top Employers Institute. My name is Nathalie Médard, and in this podcast, I have the honor to talk to our top employees around the world about the world of work. Today, my guests are Raya Cvetkova and Plamena Janeva from Little Bulgaria. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, and thank you for the invite. It's a huge privilege to be with you today.
Hello, also from my side. It's really a great honor to be part of this top employer community.
It's great to have you here. Thank you. Raya, let me start by quickly introducing you to our listeners. And I believe congratulations are in order, right? Because you just moved into a new position as a head of talent acquisition and employer branding at Little Bulgaria just this February. And before this, you were responsible for building a strong employer brand for the company in your role of employer branding manager that you've had in for about 6 years, I think. And you bring nearly 25 years of experience in communication and project management across both public institutions and the private sector. And then as a cherry on top, because we don't stop here, you also hold a PhD in communications at Sofia University. Pretty awesome. It's great to have you here. Thanks for joining us. And then we have Plamena. You're the head of talent management and engagement at Little Bulgaria. And you've been part of the company for more than six, almost 7 years.
Yeah.
And you bring 20 years of experience in learning, development and engagement in different sectors and roles. And you and your team, together, you build development programs for Little Bulgaria's employees. And you help people grow their skills and their careers. And it's great to have you here today as well. Cool. So, Raya and Plamena, today we'll talk about your learning project. It's going by the name, and I love that name, the 21st Century Skills Project. And I think it sounds really futuristic, very ambitious. So can you tell us a bit about that project? What was the starting point? Why did you started, etc.?
Thanks for introducing us in this wonderful way. So as a top employer, we are really all the time searching for the possibilities really to present ourselves in front of our internal audience, but also in front of our potential employees in the best possible way. So that's why we are doing a lot of surveys, really, to see what people are expecting from us as top employer. And during these surveys, we analyzed that one of the most important expectations from employee side is really their employer to invest in their education, in their upskilling, in different educational programs that add value to their personality, I could say. And it was quite, I could say, surprising for us that even this expectation employer to invest in their knowledge is even higher than expectation as benefits, and sometimes even they expect this more than, for example, attractive salary. Mm-hmm. So that's why we decided really to go in this topic in a different way and really to think how to make a special initiative that goes beyond anything else on the market. So this was really the starting point, and this was the way we created our program, 21st Century Skills.
Very cool. Thank you. I like what you just said, you know, with the investing in educating and upskilling is actually the factor that's going to make an employer more attractive, because that will have much more longer lasting effects, if you want, than, you know, just rewards, benefits, etc. Yeah. So I love that you picked that up. You actually listened to your employees, and you were actually, you know, translating that into something that will help them, that they can actually use. Cool. Why did you specifically, you know, focus on 21st century skills? And maybe you can also give us a bit more information about what actually are those 21st century skills.
I can maybe comment on that. And there is one reason, and this is that at the end of the day, a company's overall success is just the aggregate of its people being well prepared for the reality of the 21st century.
Yeah.
So it's incredibly important for our team members to feel confident and know that they have the right mental, emotional resources to thrive, not just the technical skills, but also the emotional side of it. So we decided to step away from the traditional corporate training paths and designed a development program that is completely focused on the future. We asked our people, what are the skills that would make them successful in the 21st century? And we acted on the skills that they have pointed out.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a couple of examples, maybe, what kind of skills that would be? It's very interesting that you're moving away from the corporate side, you know, and that you go further. Yeah,
sure. So those are skills like media literacy. So how do we distinguish the fake news from on the media market? How do we build a successful profile on the social media? Extremely important nowadays as well. How do we use more critical thinking in our everyday life, but also some purely personal skills like resilience and some skills that would help them in their relationship in outside of the company, even like financial, how to basically
like a financial literacy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, cool. That sounds great. Like I see that's a very holistic skill set that you're promoting here, that people will be able to build on throughout their lives. Yeah. Cool. In my daily work, I actually get to talk to many, many different people about all kinds of cool initiatives, you know. And one of the most common questions I hear when we speak about those initiatives is, okay, cool, but how did you actually do it? Like, how was it actually done? I need the specifics. So maybe you can take our listeners along. How did you do that? Design the program?
Yeah, so we combined the survey that Raya just mentioned. So it was really quite extensive survey with external audiences, but we also launched the survey within our employee group. So we asked managers about their top 15 topics that would make them successful. And this is what led us to curate the curriculum for the program. So yeah, so those are the critical capabilities that our people need, according to them, basically.
Top 15 skills, that's quite a list, right? Especially if you're looking at different managers. Did you, like, is there something specific that you realized when you went through the data? Is there specific skill sets that would show up with every feedback from the managers? Or is there something that you maybe would have expected that didn't show up?
Okay, I could add something here. Yeah. Because people are really a little bit afraid of what is going on with AI. And are they prepared enough really to live with AI as instrument in their everyday life? So, for example, really, this topic was something quite important for all the internal stakeholders. How really we to be better prepared to live and work with AI. And other topic, I think, which was really quite important for all the people is how really to reduce stress in their everyday life. because, of course, they are in many roles, not only employees, but also parents, also children, mm-hmm. also member of society. So a lot of expectations around them are arising every day. Yeah. And, of course, the world we are living in is also a little bit stressful. So they really try to find best way to be in balance, to be better prepared how to react in all these situations which are quite unpredictable. So, for example, this was quite interesting for us because all the groups made on these specific topics were really quite full and people desperately searching for answers, how to be better prepared, how to react in all these stressful situations.
Yeah, maybe to summarize is that what was really interesting for us that people were interested in topics from the personal area. So those were topics that are not taught in the educational system. So you cannot be taught that in university or school, but people do need them nowadays. And this is the reason why we realized that people needed to be successful. Somehow people find the ways to learn that specific skills, but nobody taught before to put them together in a development program in a corporate way.
Yeah, true. It's I'm just thinking about, you know, financial literacy, media literacy, etc., which are all topics that everybody needs, but the threshold to actually get to a training or learning that's good quality, that's easy to learn, that's, you know, it's not difficult to get there. There isn't much. So if you as an employer, you know, prepare something that's of value, that's easy to digest, you know, people just need to put their names in the attendees list and then they can get the good information. That's an awesome thing to give to your employees. Yeah. If we look at the how again, and I'm curious about the format because, you know, that you just told us that there were guest lists or waiting lists, there were people that would need to register. What was the format? Was it live? Was it online? How many people did you invite? Was it discussions? Was it more like direct information? What did it look like?
So we launched it with live trainings, and within the first several hours, we had really a lot of people on the waiting list. People were calling us.
Oh, wow.
Everybody from the team was receiving phone calls. So we were not prepared for that huge interest. And we decided, because we have a lot of people in the company that cannot join live within the headquarter. Mm-hmm. So we decided we need a format so that we give that knowledge to our colleagues in 54 locations throughout the country. And together with Raya, so basically Raya launched the video cast, which was even more successful. So she will tell you a little bit more. But I also think that the quality of the content was really good because based on the skills that the people pointed out as important, we launched tenders and we basically worked with the best lecturers in the country. So we really deeply assessed the knowledge and expertise of those people because those were new topics for us as well. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what made an impact as well for the people because the interest continued throughout the sessions, which was really interesting as well on its own, that people have that interest in different areas and they want to learn more. So we basically wakened up their curiosity.
Yeah,
to learn and to be eager to know more.
That's great. That's what you want. Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Let's talk about the impact. We kind of already touched upon it, but let's talk about the impact of the 21st Century Skills Project. And I know you have some quite impressive statistics that you can share with us. I know that, you know, when we look at satisfaction rate, etc., you have awesome numbers. When I saw that number, I almost thought it was a typo. So how was the project received internally?
Yeah, so I will start with the training project, and Araya can continue with the video cast as well. We have more than 1,000 participations, so 1,141 internal participations. Wow. In the training, so live participations, and we have an overall satisfaction rate of 94%. And amazing. So, yeah, so I think the numbers, they speak for themselves, but we're really happy that people do feel satisfied with the level of knowledge they.
As Plamena already mentioned, we saw the success of the whole program internally. And of course, because of a lot of factors as distance and impossibility all of our colleagues to participate, of course, in the sessions, we decided really to make something different. So the interest in the program was really huge, and there was a lot of factors that didn't allow us to make trainings for all our employees. We decided to do something different, and this was corporate videocast, also focused on all these topics, which are important for being successful in 21st century. We started to make episodes with the lecturers from internal educations, and the result was really wow. Because our colleagues who didn't have the possibility to be part of the trainings, they of course could watch all the episodes online whenever and wherever they want. Yeah. So it was really another possibility for them to learn and to be part of the whole process. But we also open all these episodes also for external audience. So the external audience accepted all this knowledge really in a very positive way. And because all the time we are speaking about top employers' practices, I'm quite sure this knowledge sharing and this added value to external audience is really a high impact to our employer branding and also to perceiving us as a company that is organizing a lot of educational activities and also give the people possibility to learn during their that in the company.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a pretty bold step to, you know, decide to put the content that you've created for your employees to put it out there and make it usable for basically everyone who's interested, right? Yeah. But it's a cool move. I think that's, you know, if you create something of such good quality and do not keep it to yourself, that says a lot about your culture as a company as well. Yeah. Just I'm just curious, how many episodes did you record in the end, and are you still recording new ones, or was it like a closed project?
We have at about 20 episodes, yeah, up to now. Mm-hmm. And we have really a lot of views, a lot, yeah, of people who are really happy with our videocast, and we are still making new episodes because the project is so successful and the expectations are really high. So we are trying to give high quality content to our external audience as well. And yeah, we are really doing new episodes as well. And for the last year's episode, we have more than 1.5 million viewers. Yeah,
another awesome number.
Yeah, which was quite impressive also for us, because each episode is living his own life with a lot of comments. Also in social networks, we are doing some interviews with participants in the episodes as well. So we have a lot of different ways of sharing this content with the audience, and the interest is really high.
I'm really interested about feedback, both from internal employees, obviously, but also looking at what, you know, viewers that go on YouTube and watch those movies. Yeah. So maybe let's start with the internal feedback, but also changes. You know, did you see any changes in collaboration, mindset, performance, anything in your employees, maybe coming from these lectures, these recordings? Yeah, and also general feedback. I'm super curious.
What made us really happy is that there was such an internal buzz, if I may say.
Yeah.
People were really curious. People got interested in what else is to learn, what else is there new that I don't know. So this is what made us professionally really happy, because this is the way that we catch up with the fast-changing reality around us.
Mm.
So I think this is a behavior that we were talking about, skills that make us successful, but this is also a behavior, an attitude that makes one
a
successful.
A growth mindset, right? That you've kind of awakened in people, because they realize, hey, it's actually fun to learn.
Yeah. Exactly. And growth mindset was one of the topics, by the way, as well.
Look. So they've learned about it, and then they could just use it right
more.
Away.
Yeah. Cool. I could also share that we had topics as building network and also building personal image in social media.
Mm-hmm.
So both topics really made the change also in our colleagues, because, for example, they started to share more about Lidl as employer after they passed this training, for example, for personal branding, because they understood that this is also something important for themselves as professionals. Uh-huh. And showing success in their work is something that is not important only for the company, but also for themselves. It was really quite interesting to see the result from this training. And also networking, because this is something very important, both internally but also externally. I also think that passing this training, they changed their behavior in a positive way.
Nice. Let's look at the external side as well, and then I'm looking at time. So when we look at the external feedback, I bet you've had tons of comments in YouTube, and you know, you maybe saw things go viral and other people would share. What was the feedback externally?
The feedback externally was really quite impressive. There were not so many comments because topics are a little bit self-reflection.
Right, but
personal.
Not
sharing your opinion on this topic, but think internally what to change and how to take value from the conversations. But it was quite interesting that public institutions, as for example Ministry of Labor, and they gave us really positive feedback, saying that we are participating in something very important for the labor market, upskilling,
yeah,
and giving people additional value. The other really very positive feedback was that some NGOs, for example, or universities, they saw our videocast. They found common topics and touch points, and they came to us and offered us kind of common projects, for example, because they said, okay, we analyzed that we have shared values and mm-hmm. we could do something together because you are caring on the same topics as we.
Nice.
One of our really very successful initiatives for career consulting for young people, we call it Career Up. For example, this initiative started from our videocast because our partner, a really huge NGO focused really on this topic, career consulting for youths, they found us through the videocast. So really the benefits from the whole initiative, they were far beyond everything we imagined at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's beautiful how it started with something that you were doing internally.
Yeah.
Then you saw, okay, hey, we need to take this externally. Then you actually got feedback from people looking at it. That kind of led to new projects, to new, collaborations as well. And your employees also had great, profit from being able to watch those video casts. So I think outcome, when I look at it, is not one, it's not two, it's more like three big wins, if we kind of look at the bigger picture. Let's maybe kind of bring it all together. Before we step into the part where we look at challenges and tips, etc., if you were to bring it all together, like if you had to summarize the philosophy of the 21st Century Skills Project, what would you say? What is the core belief? Is there a core belief? That's maybe a bit difficult to put it into one thing, but I'm curious.
If we should summarize it into one question for us, this is the belief that a company, an employer needs to invest in long-term added value to the individuals in the company. Because those are the people that would make the company successful.
Mm-hmm. And what would that say about the culture of little Bulgaria when we translate it?
I would say that this project is a project that showcases the culture of long learning at Little Bulgaria. Mm-hmm. So we are extremely happy to be part of it and to live in that culture. But this is a culture where people realize that personal growth is never ending.
Mm-hmm.
This is why also we decided we would not end the project, because people are still eager. They're curious to know more and to develop, to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what also matters is that we deeply listen to our people.
Yeah.
What they really need, because the entire program was built on the need, on what the people, the colleagues said. And we also are very happy, as Raya mentioned, to bring it externally, to share the society, because we live in that society as well.
Yeah.
And we had the chance to show our responsibility to return the favor.
Yeah.
And to show that we are a responsible part of that society.
It's a beautiful project. I think when I hear about it, I also feel the heart that goes into it, right? That you've kind of... You're also kind of amazed about how well it went and how much impact it has, not only on your employees, but the company as well, but also a much broader picture, the people around you. Perfect. Thank you so much. Let's actually move into what we call hashtag sharing learning. So we'll look at challenges, insights, and tips. And this is where we ask our guests about their key learnings from the initiatives. And, you know, I'm sure that lots of people kind of think about, hey, I also want to start something like that. That's so awesome. That's so impactful. So if someone were to start to launch a future skills initiative, where should they start?
There should be a really profound preparation, I would say. Because I know that you would ask us about what we would do differently. We were not prepared. We were not expecting that high impact, high interest from people. And but I guess the recipe is that if you invest really in that deep research, what are the topics? What is important to people? If you are eager to listen, then you need to prepare also for that high volume of participation. But what matters is that companies and employers should pay attention to what people have to say.
Employee listening in the end. Yeah. I want to ask about three critical success factors. So I guess employee listening to what people are saying is one of them. I also see profound preparations, as you just said. So get the data straight, get the questions that you want to ask straight, maybe to begin with. And then also, what do you derive from that? Where do you start? Is there anything other, like any other critical success factor that you would mention?
For sure, the support from the leadership. Because projects like this, they need budget, they need other resources, human resources, and understanding that people will invest part of their work time in trainings that preparing themselves for success in 21st century. They are not directly connected with their work. But they will help them somehow to be better persons. So the understanding of this critical moment is very important, and you have to have buy-in from the leadership that people will invest this time for improving themselves. This is really very important. And the other thing is really to be sustainable in your effort, because the great result didn't really come from the first day. And really to see what is working in the best possible way. Organizing video cast shooting, for example, wasn't easy task because it's not our core job. We had to find appropriate partners, to find appropriate place for shooting and all the other things. But when you really want to achieve something and you are sustainable in your efforts, you are hearing the feedback and you are trying to find the best practices in this area, then the success is coming.
It's more like a long-term return on invest, right? So it's really hard, or not hard, but it's a lot at the beginning, and you kind of need to learn on the go. And that's the case for, you know, you as the employer starting the whole thing, but also for the employee. You know, they invest time for long-term growth as well. Wow, beautiful. Thank you. I want to get back to that point, Plamina, that you just mentioned before. You know, what would you do differently if you started again? So I can hear that you would have planned differently. Could you be a bit more specific? What exactly would you have done differently in that respect? And maybe there's also something else that you would have done differently?
Yeah, I think it's purely organizational. We would give people more time, more training groups, more options to subscribe for such trainings, because I think we opened, if I'm not mistaken, 5 or 8 training groups, and those were not enough.
Yeah. So they were booked so quickly.
If I'm about to do it now, I would give them more opportunity before we go to the next topic, because they wanted to, the same people wanted to attend the next topic as well.
Yeah, obviously. Yes, of course. If you start, then you want to go on. Yeah.
Yeah. So we would plan for sure differently, and we start in doing it. As Raya said, we do it on the go. We learn from previous topics, from previous months, but I think it's okay. And I think this pure organizational thing in the beginning is not that a huge burden, because we were able to readapt quickly. So we opened immediately new classes and we adjusted. But it was a nice feeling within the participants as well.
Yeah, that, I can imagine.
They could be there, and because of them, we open additional classes.
Yeah.
Again, they feel listened, they feel valued.
It's such a beautiful impact that you've created there. Really, really cool.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I would be happy that if our people were saying the same stuff. Yeah.
I think so, right? If you look at the subscription rate, just say everything, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. If we look at challenges, when I talk to you, I feel like everything went pretty smoothly, actually, even though you say, okay, maybe planning would have been, but you never know what's going to happen. So I think even when we look at the planning that you've done, everything has been done very thoroughly. Were there any real obstacles that you came across during the whole journey, or did it just go relatively smoothly? Did you have the leadership buy-in that you needed? Is there anything where you would say, okay, this was really difficult for us to overcome, or maybe not?
I only could mention that, for example, quite the challenge is really the core team of the project to have enough time to run this project, because it's not business as usual.
No.
It's not something that is a must. It's something that the whole company is seeing added value in this project, but in fact, it's not our core business.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, as the HR team. But we managed to be sustainable and to have this project for over more than 2 years now, just because we understood the impact of the project. But this is somehow a difficulty to find enough time to run the project with the same passion and energy and willingness people to understand more of skills of 21st century.
Yeah. I can understand, because business as usual also needs to go on. But, you know, such a big project obviously takes up a lot of resources for a longer time as well. Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much, Raya and Plamena, for sharing your learnings with us. And with this, we're closing the content part and moving to our traditional end of episode quick questions, quick answers game. So if you're ready, I'm going to ask my very first question. So quick question, quick answers. Your favorite product to buy at Lidl? Ooh, that's a difficult one, or maybe not at all. What's your staple that you always need to buy?
Me personally, I'm always buying fresh fruits and vegetables. Yeah. And I really love them because they are safe and really fresh.
That's what I hear. Yeah. And you, Plamena?
My son is very picky, so he's not eating everything. But there is one specific art of ravioli, And this is the only thing that he could eat any time of day, every day.
Perfect. So you have tons of that at home, probably. That's just like us. My son is very picky too. He only eats a specific sort of pasta. So I feel you.
You could exchange recipes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So more looking into the world of work, when we think about young talents today, what is the one thing that you believe that they really need to know or really need to learn?
For young people, it's important for young people to be patient, because miracles are not happening in a night.
Unfortunately.
And they really have to learn to prove themselves and to be a little bit more patient, that the results are coming, but not so quick and not so easy as they might expect.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Patience, yeah. Mm-hmm. Pamina?
Yeah, I would add that I always say to my daughter that, yes, she needs to learn in school, but she also needs to learn to learn. Because the most important skill that should stay with her throughout her whole life, everything is changing so quickly, so she will definitely not learn everything at the university or school. Mm-hmm. So she need to adjust. She need to be able to adjust and to be able to obtain new skills and new knowledge throughout her whole life, and to be open to do so.
Growth mindset, flexibility, openness, all those skills that will be key. And I think patience is also one of them.
Absolutely.
It's a nice skill set that you have there. What are your first thoughts when you hear about concepts like the 4-day working week?
For me, 4-day work week could be something really very useful for organizations and also for people, but it has to take into account so many additional circumstances and important issues, so it could not be an easy decision. It could be useful, but it could also somehow make a lot of stress if it's not the right fit for the organization. Because, for example, our business is 24/7, and it could be quite challenging for operational business if, for example, people from the headquarters are working only 4 days a week. So it's a puzzle with a lot of pieces, and you have to make it in a right way just to work.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess this is a very nice looking idea. And we at Lido, we always have a lot of nice ideas, but what is really important, as Raya is saying, is that we need to do a thorough research before we go into that. So we realize how much stands behind one nice idea until it gets a nice project. So
all the factors to take into account.
Exactly. Yep. A lot of work to be done in order to analyze whether this could be a success.
Okay. Let's look at the last question. Best book or movie, in your opinion? You can choose either your favorite book or your favorite movie or something else.
For me, the best book is Graf Monte Cristo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm really very excited of what learning could do for a person, and how really person could grow and could succeed even after something very wrong and something very heavy is happening to him, but this gives him a chance to learn and to grow. after the heavy situation.
Oh, now I want to read it. I haven't read it yet, so put down my notes. I love books, so that's why I'm asking that question. Flamina.
I don't know whether it's my favorite, but the last one that really made an impact on me was Never Split the Difference.
Oh, yeah, I have that.
You know?
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but it's on my table. Yeah?
So by Chris Voss. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it talks about that when you really believe in something, you should not do the compromise, but you need to be assertive, let's say. And it's very interesting how that belief is working in some very, very challenging situations. So it's a book that you can learn from. I really liked it.
Okay. Another one on my list. Thank you. And it actually ties in perfectly with the project you've done, right? Because you went for it full steam and you just did it. And I think it's a beautiful thing that you've done there.
Yeah, when you're saying it.
See, that wasn't even, you know, intended, but beautiful. Okay, cool. Well, this is actually our closing already. So yeah, Flamina and Raya, thank you so much for joining the podcast today. It was a really, really nice discussion with you. Thank you for sharing your insights and your project with us. And I bet our listeners feel super inspired now and they all want to start their own project. So maybe one or the other will get in contact with you. Let's see. And as you know, we always have a little moment in the end for a very last statement by our guests, where you can share something that you know, just want to tell the community before we close off for today. So the floor is yours.
I really like the thought that I've heard on the Top Employer ceremony by the CEO of Top Employer. And it was managers need to be bold and need to leave something behind. So people should be brave even in their jobs. What we do matters for people, and we need to make value for people as well.
Yeah, nice. Kaya, do you want to add something?
I think you don't have to. These words are saying everything, so
perfect.
Yeah, we'll let Flami with these final words really close the conversation.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Well then, thank you for these great final words. Thanks again for joining me today. It was really great having you here. And that was Share the Best, the podcast of Top Employees Institute. If you have questions, comments, or experiences that you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. Just send us an email at dach@topemployees.com. And thank you for listening, and #ShareTheBest.